This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Zach Ryland, and this is your weekly reading of The Messenger. Today, we'll be diving into The Messenger from Friday, March the 22nd, and if you're joining us, it's about 6 o'clock in the evening on Sunday, March the 24th, or it may be pretty early in the morning on Monday, March the 25th, if you're catching the rebroadcasting of this airing, but either way, we appreciate you inviting us into your homes and for you spending this time with us. We're diving in here to The Messenger this week, which has a big variety of local updates. We've got information on pro-life events that are happening here in the diocese. We've got Holy Week getting ready to be underway as we're really leading up here into Easter. And then, of course, some other local updates like the one that we'll start with on the Scouts, Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, here within the diocese. So that first piece for us today is going to be from Mara Baker, our staff writer. This is entitled, Catholic Scouts Integrate Faith in All They Do, says Bishop Eifert at Scouting Awards. Mass at the Cathedral Basilica of the Assumption in Covington on March the 17th opened with a procession led by a pair of scouts, carrying with them the flags of the United States and the Vatican. This Mass prefaced the Scouting Awards ceremony that would follow across the street at Bishop Howard Memorial Auditorium, where scouts across the diocese, including Scouts of America, American Heritage Girls, and Girl Scouts, would receive awards, medals, and patches, recognizing their contributions to Catholic scouting and carrying out their faith. 11 received certificates at the ceremony, and 4 were awarded medals. 3 were recipients of the Pope Pius XI Award as part of a program that encourages scouts to explore vocations. A 4th award, the St. George Medal, was awarded to Mark Barth, a parishioner of Mary, Queen of Heaven Parish, the only adult to receive a scouting award at the ceremony. The St. George Medal is awarded to members of the laity, clergy, scouters, and non-scouters alike, who have made significant and outstanding contributions to the spiritual development of Catholic youths through scouting. During Mass, Bishop Eifert thanked the scouts for their presence in his homily. Quote, I was looking this morning again at the Scout Oath, he said, and the Scout Oath encourages Boy Scouts, and I imagine all scouts have some version of this, to be faithful to God and country, to serve their neighbor at all times, and to respect themselves, to contribute to the common good of society. As scouts and their families moved into the next door Bishop Howard Memorial Auditorium following Mass, David Cooley, the co-director of the Office of Catechesis and Evangelization, who helped organize the ceremony, welcomed them. Quote, We are very proud of our scouts who have worked hard to receive their patches and certificates, awards, and medals, said Mr. Cooley. It's important to integrate our faith in everything we do, Bishop Eifert said at the award ceremony, and scouts are a natural fit for that. At the end of the ceremony, scouts in attendance all received a special bishop's patch to be sewn onto their uniform, featuring the crest of Bishop Eifert. So good to hear some positive news there in our community, and of course, always encouraged when that positive news is about young people. Here, we're hearing a little bit more about the Scouting Awards and a focus on 3 different scout groups inside of our diocese and the ways that they've been honored here to end one year and celebrate progress in advance of another. Now we're going to turn over to a piece on Catholic charities. This comes to us from Bella Young, our multimedia correspondent. This is entitled Catholic Charities, A Night of Celebration and Recognition. Quote, I'm just kind of overwhelmed with the impressions of all the dedicated service that this represents, all the people who are really continuing the mission of Jesus. This was said by Divine Providence Sister Fidelis Tracy, a volunteer receptionist at Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Covington. Sister Fidelis was speaking to the staff and volunteers at the Catholic Charities Appreciation Dinner on March the 12th. A dinner where employees, volunteers, and friends of Catholic Charities gather to be celebrated for their hard work and dedication. A few people were celebrated with the presentation of the annual awards, the Marcella Strangier Award of Hope, and the Community Partner Award. Preceding the presentation of the annual awards, Chris Goddard, the Executive Director of Catholic Charities, talked about the ministries of Catholic Charities. He spoke about the parish kitchen's 50th year anniversary that will be coming up in June. Quote, 50 years providing a hot meal 7 days a week to our neighbors, and over 2 million meals later, we're still going strong. Mr. Goddard said that there will be more information about the 50-year anniversary as June draws closer. He also spoke about the consulting services that Catholic Charities provides. Quote, we have a wonderful mental health program, both in the agencies and in schools. Mr. Goddard said that they will be dedicating funds to finding out exactly what it is that schools need from the counseling services ministry. Following Mr. Goddard's remarks were a celebration of all of the volunteers in attendance. Multiple groups were asked to stand and be recognized, ranging from the youngest volunteer in attendance, a student from St. Henry District High School who cuts grass, to the larger ministries like the Adopt-a-Family Program, the Jail Ministry Program, and the Mobile Food Pantry. The volunteers were asked to stand and be recognized to celebrate them and their hard work. In keeping with the theme of recognition and celebration, Brandy Medaw, the client care specialist and St. Joseph Apartments case manager, was invited to present the Marcella Strangier Angel of Hope Award. Marcella Strangier, this is a quote, was hardworking and deeply committed to her faith, said Mrs. Medaw. Since 2002, we have recognized members of our community in her honor. Before announcing the recipients, Mrs. Medaw said, quote, the recipients for this year's award are true stewards of God's love and honor this legacy. The recipients of the Marcel Strangier Angel of Hope Award are Dick and Rosalie Hentz. Mrs. Medaw recalled the times that Dick and Rosalie truly embodied the memory of Marcella Strangier. Quote, whether it was Dick dumpster diving in front of the Fisher Homes construction site to put together a playhouse for a special needs kid, or Rosaline outing together a group of students to get their service hours in so that she could make a blessing bag for a mom on Mother's Day, she said. They went above and beyond throughout the last several years to make sure that everyone they know or didn't know is served with God's true love. The next award that was presented was the Community Partner Award, presented by James Wendlin. In Mr. Wendlin's remarks, he spoke about the character of the Community Partner Award. Quote, the Community Partner Award recognizes individuals, companies, or organizations who share the values of Catholic Charities and have collaborated closely with our ministry to make a significant difference in the community. The recipient of the Community Partner Award is the Covington Rotary Club, Mr. Wendlin said. Quote, this is week 200 for their assistance with the parish kitchen. They have donated 1,912 cases of bottled water and 28,136 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. The presentation of the award to the Covington Rotary Club was met with a round of applause from the attendants. In his closing remarks, Bishop John Eifert challenged the audience to look for God wherever they serve. Quote, be prayerfully engaged in the work that we are doing. Ask ourselves again and again, every time we serve, where did I see Christ today? Where did I encounter Christ in the work I was doing, in the people that I served? In his call to reflect and find God wherever they serve, Bishop Eifert equated God's blessings to sparkles of sunlight on a lake. Imagine, he said, that those sparkles are pennies. Bishop Eifert said that in serving the needs of others, we often grow to recognize our own spiritual poverty and our need to stoop down to retrieve these pennies of mercy. Quote, we ourselves are poor. We ourselves are needy. We ourselves are sometimes forgotten. We dwell sometimes on the margin. We are not self-sufficient. We are in need of a Savior, and this we learn from the people that we serve, he said. In acknowledging personal needs as well as the needs of others, Bishop Eifert said, the abundance of the Lord's mercy and blessings become apparent. Quote, Christ passes with an open and free hand those gracious pennies into our life and into our world, over and over and over again, day after day after day, Bishop Eifert said. We are poor people. All we really have to do is gather them up. Bishop Eifert ended by thanking the volunteers for all that they do at Catholic Charities, for the people in their community, and for continuing to find Jesus in all that they do. It's an uplifting report there to hear a little bit more about Catholic Charities, about those awardees, those who are working so hard in our community to make a difference and make an impact. And of course, just to hear words of wisdom from Bishop John Eifert about how we need to continue to hunt for those pennies, those pieces of wisdom, those areas where we may be spiritually poor that have been handed out to us. We're going to move forward now, and now of note, we do have some updates on thinking about our focus on pro-life here in the month of March and leading into April. This comes to us from Mara Baker, staff writer. Just a small update here inside the diocese. This is entitled, Memorial Mass for the Loss of a Child Returns in April. All invited to pray for the relief of the burden of grief. The loss may be recent or long ago, but the loss of a child forever lingers in the heart. Jesus awaits all those suffering in grief, saying, quote, Blessed are they who mourn, for they will be comforted. Once again, the Diocese of Covington's pro-life office will host a memorial mass for the loss of a child. This year's mass will be held on April the 11th at 7 p.m. at Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish in Burlington. Father Ryan Mayer, the rector of the Cathedral Basilica of the Assumption, will be the celebrant. The Memorial Mass for the Loss of a Child is offered for parents, grandparents, family members, and friends of those who have lost a child through miscarriage, stillbirth, early infant death, abortion, illness, suicide, accident, or any other reason, and all are welcome to attend. Quote, We have found that it's very healing for those who attend, said Faye Roche, director of the pro-life office. It's a twofold purpose. Through prayer and community support, we seek God's healing. And we ask God to relieve the burden of grief for those who are suffering. The Memorial Mass begins with a candle ceremony where visitors are invited to light a candle in the memory of the child they lost. A procession with candles following. Quote, That's very beautiful, very moving, said Mrs. Roche, about the candle procession. Following Mass will be a reception where resources like grief support groups will be available. Quote, I've reached out to several hospitals, support groups, and funeral homes, Mrs. Roche said, working on spreading the word and getting the word out. So an opportunity for you to take part in a really holistic view of our pro-life stance, a way to think about, memorialize, and process any of the burden of grief that you're carrying for a variety of things that are all focused on life, whether that was a miscarriage, it could be an abortion, but it could also be childhood illness, suicide, or losing someone to an accident. This is a place to get together with others who have felt and experienced similar things, to grieve, to process, and to heal together. Hopefully you've got a chance to take part if you or someone you know has been impacted by the loss of a child. That's April 11th, 7 p.m. at the Immaculate Heart of Mary Parish in Burlington. Now, just another small update, but again, this is to remind us of things going on inside the diocese. Laura Keener, our editor here, has an update that says, Safe Environment Audit finds the Diocese of Covington compliant. In a letter to Bishop John Eifert dated March the 4th of 2024, Stonebridge Business Partners found the Diocese of Covington, quote, compliant with all audited articles with the Charter for the Protection of Children and Young People. For the audit period of July the 1st of 2021 through December the 31st of 2023. This is the 18th such audit for the Diocese of Covington. All have found the diocese compliant. In response to revelations of child sexual abuse by priests in 2002, the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, or the USCCB, developed the Charter for the Protection of Children and Young People. The charter outlines 17 articles that all dioceses are to adhere to minimize the possibility of child abuse within the church, and to establish clear and efficient avenues of reporting child abuse. Of those 17 articles, 14 can be qualified by an audit. Dioceses and archdioceses, along with others in the United States, receive an independent paper audit every year. On-site audits are conducted every 3 years. Stonebridge Business Partners from Rochester, New York, conducts the audits, and the USCCB Secretariat of Child and Youth Protection produces an annual report based on the findings of the audit. The most recent report, the 2022 report, is available online at USCCB, that's short for United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, usccb.org/issues-and-action/child-and-youth-protection/audits.cfm. So that's usccb.org/issues-and-action/child-and-youth-protection/audits.cfm, but note there were hyphens between most of those words. Since the implementation of the charter, the Diocese of Covington has participated in an audit. With an on-site, not only are documents and procedures evaluated, but auditors also visit several parishes and schools and interview curious staff and school and parish personnel who are directly involved in implementing articles of the charter. This year, auditors Courtney Brock and Kathy Cicchello from Stonebridge Business Partners were in the diocese from February the 20th and 21st, conducting the on-site audit. Julie Feinhauer, the director for the Diocese and Safe Environment Office, coordinated the audit. Quote, "The audit was a wonderful, eye-opening experience. We realize that we are going above and beyond to keep our children and vulnerable adults safe," said Mrs. Feinhauer. "We are so thankful for those in our parishes, schools, and agencies that work diligently every day and value our work. We could not have done this without them. Many thanks to our representatives from the Diocesan Review Board and curious staff who were interviewed. And a special thanks to our site locations, St. Barbara Parish, St. Henry Parish and School, St. Paul Parish and School, and Villa Madonna Academy Elementary and High School." So, promising update there to hear that auditing inside of our diocese, and of course, more broadly across the Catholic communities in the United States, are going through this audit process, and here in our own diocese, we have been very successful. A couple other small updates, and then we'll move into our commentary section. Just a note, a new episode of Dine-In or Drive-Thru a Fish Fry has come out, episode 5. In episode 5 of Dine-In or Drive-Thru a Fish Fry, Bella and Maura travel to St. Benedict Parish in Covington to see what makes their fish fry so great. You can check it out online at covdio.org/messenger. That's covdio.org/messenger. Also, Holy Week at the Cathedral for the Cathedral Basilica of the Assumption. Bishop John Eifert will be the celebrant at the following Holy Week services at the Cathedral Basilica of the Assumption in Covington. If you're hearing this, some of these are today. Sunday, March the 24th at 10 a.m., Palm Sunday Mass. So again, we are broadcasting at 6 p.m. That will have already passed, but hopefully you took part in a Palm Sunday Mass either at your own parish or here at the Cathedral Basilica of the Assumption. Now, this week, Tuesday, March the 26th, 7 p.m., Chrism Mass with distribution of holy oils. Holy Thursday on March the 28th at 6 p.m., Mass of the Lord's Supper and washing of the feet. March the 29th at 3 p.m., Good Friday, liturgical service, reading of the Passion, veneration of the cross, and distribution of Holy Communion. Holy Saturday on March the 30th at 8:30 p.m., the Easter Vigil, blessing of the fire, blessing of the water, reception of the elect and candidates into full communion with the church, and Mass of Easter. Easter Sunday, March the 31st at 10 a.m., Easter Mass, Resurrection of the Lord. And then Divine Mercy Sunday on April the 7th, Exposition of the Blessed Sacrament, after 10 a.m. Mass through Vespers beginning at 3 p.m. Confessions are available during that same time. All right, we're heading now into our commentary section, and we're going to start with our first piece here from Sister Fidelis Tracy. We heard a little bit of her voice in an earlier article. This is now a commentary piece entitled Trust or Wishful Thinking. During the season of political campaigns, it seems I say, or hear frequently, I do not trust him, or her, or them. Usually, the statement refers to someone's tendency to come through with promised actions or goods, and often it revolves around what I will or will not receive. However, trusting, in a deeper sense, is much more profound than mere expectations of receiving something that is promised. Trusting God is more than believing I will get the answer to my prayer in the form that I want it. Trust in another person is more than counting on them for material goods or support. Authentic trust involves love of another. When we love, we accept failures, and we are not focused intently on receiving what we expect or being spared pain. While trust is an easy word to say, it is not an easy attitude to develop. If I truly trust someone, I must have some level of love for them. Trust in another requires allowing them to be who they are, whether it suits my desires or not. It means allowing them to be human, to fail, to be unable to do what I want them to do, and then to love despite failures. Prayer, which is an act of trust in God, is more related to covenant than to mere hope for a desired answer. Covenant reaches far into a future of unknown and unpredicted events. The wedding day, the day of making religious vows, the moment of baptism are all examples of covenant. All lead to a whole life of saying yes to promises made in a day of light, but open to largely unknown future events. Moses and Abraham both entered into covenant relationships with God that led to a long life of unexpected and often difficult events. 40 years in a dry and unwelcoming desert with a complaining people might have tempted Moses to turn away. Childless years in a land that was not home might have caused Abraham to choose another god. What appeared as bright promises involved moments of painful disillusionment about what was promised. Yet both Moses and Abraham continued to trust because the bedrock of trust is love, not certainty about what receiving is expected. They loved God and God's people. Now Peter followed Jesus with a firm trust that Jesus would be the Messiah he and his people awaited. He also had a clear idea of what that Messiah was about to do. His trust was in a promise of nationhood, freedom, and the end of oppression. When Jesus crushed his hopes with predictions about a very different future, Peter could easily have turned away in his disappointment. Why would he continue to accompany Jesus when his trust had, to all appearances, been betrayed? Did he still trust Jesus? Apparently he did, since he is still with Jesus in the weeks to come. During those days, he adjusted his understanding of what the Messiah was about to do. Yet each adjustment of his understanding led to more disappointments. He continued to follow, not because he was receiving what he expected, but because he loved Jesus. Love survives disappointments. Peter was looking for peace and security. On the mountain of the Transfiguration, he wanted to build 3 tents and stay in the peace of Jesus' glory. When Jesus invited him to descend the mountain and face a future that included dying as well as rising, Peter did not abandon Jesus, but followed to the end. His trust was real because it was based in love, rather than in fulfillment of expectations. Peter also may have disappointed Jesus. He cut off the ear of one who came to capture Jesus. Clearly, he still did not understand what Jesus was saying about the path that they were on. He denied Jesus three times at the moment of Jesus' great suffering. Yet, when all is said and done, Jesus entrusted Peter with the leadership of the community. Clearly, trust is not dependent on another's fulfillment of my expectations. While trust does not demand that I be a doormat, it does require that I accept the other's inability to deliver what I expect. Trust involves forgiving failures and understanding human frailty. Trust requires that I love. Without love, my expectations and my prayer become mere wishful thinking. Divine Providence Sister Fidelis Tracy is a retired theology professor at Thomas More University in Crestview Hills, Kentucky. I find that piece very interesting because in the work that I do, we often talk about the intersection of high levels of accountability and high levels of performance at work and in workplace settings, and how trust and even love are components of that. But how we make sense of trust and love in a workplace environment can be hard to do because they feel like things that maybe don't belong at work. Here, I think Sister Fidelis Tracy put a perfect piece together to help explain that. We need trust and we need love because otherwise, when people fail, when they let us down, it can break those relationships. And she shared some really great examples of all these times. Peter, Jesus, Abraham, Moses, their relationships may have quote-unquote let each other down or may have not been what was expected, but they were still able to move forward and move beyond. That's my hope for you this week as we wrap up this week's broadcast, that as you're getting started on your week, and especially this Holy Week leading up to Easter, that you're able to look in your life for those where you can continue to love and trust, even if your expectations have been let down at some point in the past. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of our time together. My name has been Zach Ryland. This has been your weekly reading of The Messenger. Until we talk to you again next week, may you have a wonderful week, a wonderful chance to think about how you love and trust others, and a celebration of Easter. Until we talk to you again next week, stay healthy, be well, and take care of yourself. Thank you.